Good morning. Good morning. We are over halfway through our teaching series in Abraham. So I want to recap some of the story because you may have missed 1 or 2 weeks, and I just want to kind of give you some of the points that gets us to where we're going to pick up today. We're going to look at chapter 17, so if you want to grab a Bible while I'm doing this recap, please do so, or flick through and find the chapter on your Bible app or whatever. But Abraham is in his 70s when God calls him out of Haran, and he gives Abraham some promises before Abraham goes, and then these are affirmed in a covenant ceremony which we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Abraham is promised a land to inherit, or to inhabit even, and to transform. He's promised descendants and to make their name great. God then says he's going to bless those descendants and they will be a blessing to others. Now, Abraham's name means father of many, and how ironic. Genesis 13 tells us Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. And we imagine that merchants would have come and stopped at his well, maybe had something to eat and gone to his tent to pay their respect. And we can imagine the small talk. Who are you? Oh, father of many, congratulations. How many sons do you have? And maybe in Abraham's own community, there was a little bit of speculation. Who's sterile? Abraham or Sarah? Being childless, despite God's promise, was a challenge. And so last week we heard that Sarah takes the matter into her own hands. I'm just sorting out the pages here. She suggests that Abraham sleeps with her servant Hagar, and in due course, Hagar has a son. That seems to answer the fertility question, at least. Then God goes silent on Abraham after Ishmael is born. And I wonder whether, as the years went by, Abraham became increasingly convinced that maybe Ishmael was the promised son. This morning, in chapter 17, we're at the point in Abraham's life where Ishmael is about 13, Abraham is 99, and God appears to him once again. He reaffirms his promises to Abraham, but he adds in that Abraham and all his all the men in his community must adopt the practice of male circumcision as an outward sign of God's covenant. So let's have a look at what chapter 17 has to say. Okay, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Oh, I've just lost my place. That's the trouble when you look up. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he'd finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or brought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. Now, I'm not going to go into lots of detail. And there is so much that I could pull out of this passage. I'm hoping I've actually got a really kind of simple message for you today. But enough to say about circumcision is that it's a surgical procedure. It removes foreskin from the male genitals. It was practiced by other cultures in Abraham's day, but it was often done as a rite of passage as a young man moved into his man or adulthood. But here, God establishes this sign as a sign of his grace. It's an outward sign that Abraham's people and his descendants are born into a covenant relationship with God. They're God's chosen people. As a community, shuffled my papers, do you know? Why do I do this? There we are. As a community, they're to be separated for God's purposes. They're to be his treasure. They're to be marked out as people who obediently walked with God and who respected God and his ways and people who trusted God. And Abraham, up to this point, he's actually not done a particularly brilliant job of trusting God. Not really. He's passed his wife off as his sister twice as a means of protection. And he's put into motion two ways of ensuring an heir. First, adopting his servant called Eliezer, as well as fathering Ishmael. Abraham was very capable of creating a messy life around himself. And then at the age of 99, God appears and he says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. And Abraham responds by falling face down on the ground. Now, all of you people who are over the age of 25, who say, I am too old to move in worship, Abraham was 99 and smack flat on his face before God. That was not in my notes. I just wanted to say it. Abraham encounters God again, and his response is to worship. His response is to surrender before God. His response is to receive God wholeheartedly. Abraham has tried to be faithful to God, but he is only human. He's been courageous when he has said yes to God, but like many of us, he struggled with having the resilience to sustain that yes when life has got difficult or tricky. The first thing I want us to notice about this story is the absolute beauty and kindness of God, who never ever stops offering Abraham opportunities to learn and to grow and to be changed. This is the way God interacts with each and every one of us. But how do we respond in those transformational moments? Do we, like Abraham, fall face down? Maybe not physically, because I've got to include myself. I'm also over 25. We might not physically fall down, but do we, in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, do we surrender or do we resist God? Well, God, it's a bit like this. Like Abraham, we are all prone to falter in our ability to walk faithfully and blamelessly. What matters to God is what we do when he calls us to change. Abraham is called to adopt a physical ritual that will serve as an outward sign of the internal journey that God calls all his people to, a transformation of heart and mind. Now, Abraham has been chosen, he's been called, he's been saved. Here, he's been called or instructed to absolutely follow God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul. Just as Liz started our service with, this is going to be reflected in his actions and behaviours and obedience. And God requires no less from us today. We're disciples. That means we're learners, people who are called to choose to walk before God faithfully and blamelessly. In Abraham's day, the command "walk before me" was sometimes used to describe loyalty to a king. Serve me as your highest power, as the one with ultimate authority in your life, says God. And left to our own devices, we can be a little bit like Abraham. We follow our own way, we build our own little kingdoms, and we come up with our own little ideas and ways of taking things into our own hands. How often do we think we know best? How often are our prayers and our petitions to God really a means of trying to get God onto our side to do things the way we think things should be done? This story reminds us that God calls us to have our hearts and our minds tuned into God. As we say in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. We're to walk before God and to allow him to rule and guide. So we're called to walk faithfully, but we're also called to walk blamelessly. And blameless, the word blameless implies the sinless perfection. But that isn't really what blameless fully meant in the Old Testament. When Job is described as being blameless before God, it doesn't mean that he was perfect or that he'd never sinned and never got it wrong, but it meant that he walked a life that was marked with integrity and a wholeness that came from trusting God, from putting his faith completely in God. And so what God is saying to Abraham is, follow me and my ways. I've made promises. I'm going to reiterate those promises. But as we enter into this covenant together, I want you to follow me, really follow me, and follow my ways. And of course, that's the relationship that each of us are invited into with Jesus, as individuals and as a church family. Now, God tells Abraham that both he and every male in his household must be circumcised. And if Abraham falling on his face as an act of surrender at the beginning of that chapter indicates Abraham's complete and 100% I am for God, so in verse 23, this is reiterated or reinforced. We read, on that very day, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, he brought them and circumcised them as God told him. There is an immediacy to Abraham's response, a complete response as he falls down on the ground. That was a great little sound effect. Thank you. That was wonderful. I thought for a moment you'd fallen off your chair. So there was a complete surrender. I've forgotten where I was now. That's no good, is it? And then there's an immediate response on that same day. Abraham didn't let the day go by without responding to God. It was a costly response. It was a painful response, but he reacted immediately. Now, psychologists would tell us that our brains are capable of making big decisions really quickly, in a matter of seconds. But as we sit with our decisions, the motivation to act fades. Taking action within seconds can overcome anxiety and overthinking and our brains getting too full of what it is we're deciding to do. But the more time we spend thinking about a task, the more our brain finds excuses not to do things. Abraham responds immediately. And that's what God calls us to do. We're called to do the same. So I wonder where God might be calling us to respond to his call to walk before him. Where's he calling us to trust him and to serve him faithfully? Where is he calling us to be blameless and true? Where's he inviting us to be renewed by the Holy Spirit so we can love God completely and live as people marked out as different, because our God is the highest authority in our lives? Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not when we've got time to think about it, but today in this moment. This chapter, in so many ways, is a really pivotal moment in the lives of Abraham and Sarah. The chapter starts out with them being called Abram and Sarai, but a ha is added to Abraham's name and an ah is added to hers. God is adding the same letter that is in his name, Yahweh. And scholars note that the H in the Hebrew language refers to breath or spirit, maybe because the Hebrew letter ha sounds like aha, sounds like breath coming out of your mouth. So when God gives Abraham his ha, and he gives Sarah his ah, he's like giving them his own breath. He's attaching his spirit to their name. And surely today we want to be people that have got the ha breath of God attached to our names, attached to our lives, attached to the way we think, and therefore the way we are. The Holy Spirit will change what we do. But this morning I want to focus on the Holy Spirit affecting and changing our minds. What would it look like to have the Holy Spirit change the way we think about others, to always think the best of them? What would it look like to have the Holy Spirit change the way we feel, not getting angry over little things and or affronted over trivial matters, instead to be forgiving and to be compassionate towards those around us? What would it look like to have the Holy Spirit change the decisions we make, to have God's Word, the Bible, as our moral compass rather than our own desires or our own knowledge or our own understanding? In later writings, in both the Old and the New Testament, circumcision often relates to something called circumcision of the heart. Yes, to describe spiritual transformation or change rather than outward physical ritual. It signifies cutting away those things that get in the way of being committed to God, both in terms of our personal relationship with Him, but also in the way that we do life together as church family. When God speaks to Abraham, He says, if they are not cut off in the flesh, and that is an individual response, they will be cut off from the people. That is a community being described. We live in an incredibly individualistic society. And maybe sometimes we're in the danger of neglecting the responsibility we have towards one another. God calls us to walk with integrity in our church family relationships, as well as showing integrity in those other more private and individual areas of our lives. So I want to encourage us to grapple with this question. Where today might God be inviting us to have His in our relationships with one another? Do we need to put right a strained or a broken relationship? Or do we need to strengthen and deepen a relationship with those around us? Where might God be wanting to add His to our family life here, as church family, as well as our personal walk with Jesus? You might need to have a conversation with somebody who's hurt you. You might need to talk about a misunderstanding that's just been festering away. You might need to say sorry to somebody, or maybe somebody has said sorry to you, and you need to accept that they are sorry. Maybe it's a renewed focus on a new behaviour that is hurting somebody else, intentionally or accidentally. Maybe we need to step today into a new or a fresh commitment, saying yes to a challenge that takes us out of our comfort zone. I'm going to shuffle notes. It's all right, I'm only going to take this one. We learned a new song today, didn't we? And I don't know if you're anything like me, you're so worried about getting the tune wrong because the person next to you might laugh. We sometimes lose the words in songs. Yeah? I was really struck by the first verse of this new song. I don't want to get there at the end of it all, looking behind me to see there was so much more. God calls us to respond today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not when we've had time to think about it. God says today, let's respond. And we don't have to be perfect people. A pocket full of faith. It's a beautiful description, isn't it? A pocket full of faith. That's all we need. It's all I have today, the song says. I'm giving it all. And then verse 2, leaving the safety here at the shore, beyond the horizon, I see there is so much more. Let's not be people that regret not taking a decision today, not doing the right thing today, not responding to God's call today. Let's not be people here at TBC that smile and pretend that everything is all right between us when sometimes there are things festering under the surface. Let's be people that walk faithfully and blamelessly, remembering that blamelessly doesn't mean sinlessly, it means that we are walking with integrity, both personal and integrity with one another. So we're going to spend a few moments praying, just quietly asking the Holy Spirit to just remind us of those people and those situations that we know we've got to put right. And as we sing our final song, if you want to respond today, how delightful would it be to see hugs going on in our church family today, or the shaking of a hand, or the at the end of the service, let's get together for a cup of coffee. Let's not leave it, but let's respond immediately. And it may be that you've been meaning to find time to get to know somebody better, to support them better, but everything gets in the way. And today you say, I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to find that time to spend time with this person so that we can journey together better. So let's pray. Lord, would you show us by your Spirit where you want to add a huh in our church family relationships, where you want to deepen them, broaden them, mend them, heal them, turn them into something more beautiful than we can ever imagine, because your heart has blown over and through us, and we've been people that have fallen on our face and done what you've asked us to do before the end of the day. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit. Or we ask you to circumcise our hearts, to cut away those things that are unhelpful in following you, unhelpful in being people that walk faithfully before you and blamelessly. Have your way, we pray. Amen.